The Indian Mojo Show!
Hello, backers and trackers, to episode 54 of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show. As always, I'm Mojo Monkey 12, joined by Jack Gardner and the ever-so-handsome Daniel Jones. We are super excited to kickstart episode 54, featuring special guests Brendan Drain and Tina Lauro. Did I say that right, Tina?
Yes, you did. Well done.
Awesome. Brendan and Tina are part of the developer studio Brain and Nerd, based out of not-so-sunny Belfast, Northern Ireland. And along with a small but dedicated team, they're working very hard on a game called Predestination. It's an awesome-looking and ambitious RTS game, and I know that our listeners are already sick of hearing me talk, so without further ado, welcome to our guests, and welcome Jack and Daniel, and let's get into it.
All right. Thanks for calling me handsome.
It was your turn. So, Brendan, why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us about your part that you take in the game. I know you're kind of the big guy, so we'll start there and we'll talk to Tina and go on.
So, I'm Brendan Drain, and I'm the lead developer on Predestination. And it's, like, kind of my project that I'd started a couple of years ago. I would have started making this sci-fi game engine after university. And this year, we decided just to go for it and make a game out of it.
That's awesome.
That's kind of your baby for a while, then?
Yeah, it's been a real labor of love over the years. Like, I've been just developing it in my spare time. And it's all starting to really come together now, so I'm really glad that we're able to make a game out of it. And I'm amazed to see all the support for it on the internet so far.
So when did you decide to that it was time to take it to Kickstarter?
Actually, that probably would have been earlier this year, about April time. I've been investigating Kickstarter as a possible means of, like, securing some funding. And, you know, letting people pre-order the game, getting some word out there on the game, trying to get some people to give feedback on development and everything. And it's just been, since then, we've been trying to get the game to the point where we could really show off all the core features and show people that, yes, we really can get this done.
And so it's a turn-based space 4X strategy game. So can you kind of elaborate for our listeners what that kind of entails?
It's like Civilization or Master of Orion. It's a bit like Civilization in space. So it's a turn-based game where you're building ships and setting up colonies on planets and exploring a small cluster of stars or even a whole huge galaxy, depending on how long you want the game to be. And there's all these other AI races there, or other players, if you're playing multiplayer, and you just have to, like, either, like, interact with them through diplomacy or just build ships and knock the crap out of them.
And you have both options? You can be diplomatic or just blow crap out of them.
I like the blowing crap out of people part, but Tina would absolutely kill me if I didn't have a good diplomacy system in the game.
Yeah.
It's important to be versatile.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You have to have some good systems for combat and diplomacy and exploration all at the same time, and you can't just focus on just one. And I think that's the problem, is most of the games that have come out in the last couple of years in this genre have all focused on one element and really been lacking in others.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tina, what is it that you do for Brain and Nerd Studios, or games, or whatever? Brain and Nerd, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm the project manager, so I'm pretty much the person who whips those guys into shape and be sure that they actually do what they're supposed to do on time. If you back Predestination, I'll be the first person that you'll talk to, because I'll send you a nice wee thank you message. I'm kind of like the staff coordinator, so all the admin and behind the scenes work, that would all be sort of my wee realm. Me sitting with all my folders. Apart from that, my main role would really be the sort of social media and community management side of things, and definitely PR and contacting all the game sites who have very kindly done some coverage on us.
Okay, and you have Twitter and Facebook for the game already established, I assume?
Yeah, we do, yeah. You can follow us at Predestination or Predestination Game on pretty much any social network that you can think of. So
I was trying to explain this game earlier to this guy at work, and I did a terrible job, obviously. But one of the first questions he asked was, so is it going to be for the iPhone? And I said, no, this is, you know, an actual game. It's not an app.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty neat. So I just kind of, a lot of times you see those Kickstarter projects and people just assume it's going to be a small, you know, good game, you know, polished and plays well. But you guys, you know, you really want to put out a game that is very similar to a game like Civilization.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's going to release on PC, is that your plan?
Yeah. Initially, we're going to only be able to release on PC, but depending on if we get funded enough or if we can, after release, then start looking at other platforms, we might be able to port it to some other platforms.
That's great. I'm curious, when, Brendan, when you were working on this after university and everything, at what point did it become real? At what point did you say, okay, let's make this more than just a little, you know, side project that I'll be working on for the rest of my life?
I can tell you right now, it's around about January.
Yeah.
It would have been just after Christmas last year, when I'd always been pottering around with little bits of code, and I'd put together all these little like tech demos of things. I had like a little terrain engine I'd built, and a planet generator, and like a galaxy generator, and all this stuff. And it was just around then that I started putting them all together into an engine, and I turned around to Tina and said, I could make a full game out of this, but we had to pick, did we want to make it a 4X game, like Civilization style, or did we want to make it like a big sci-fi sandbox? And I'm kind of glad that we went with 4X game, because there have been so many new sandboxes coming out recently that I'm not sure we'd compete.
So by like sci-fi sandbox, do you mean something like Terraria or Minecraft, like something like that, or I guess
something more like EVE Online? It's such a big scope though that really for our first project, it's not realistic unless we had some money to put behind it. So for our first project, we thought go for something that we can make on a more reasonable scale. Has a lot of replayable content, and 4X just fits that perfectly. It's also a type of game that we're all really passionate about anyway. Like, I'm a massive Master of Orion 2 player. I still play all the time. And for me, the thing that really started me trying to make this game was the fact that I am a massive Master of Orion 2 player, and Master of Orion 3 was a massive letdown. So I've never been able to get over that, and I've never been able to get over the fact that no one's produced what's a game that I would consider a good sequel to it, or even a good spiritual sequel to it. So, I mean, I'm hoping we can fill that gap.
I was just wondering, both for Tina and Brendan, what would you consider, if you could pick one aspect of the game that you really want to sell people on, what would it be? Like, is it exploring? Is it
Tina, it'd probably be the planet exploration, wouldn't it?
Well, for me, I would probably pick the terraforming. People have been going mental over the terraforming system.
Yeah.
We're having a system in the game where we can change the planets through technology, so every race will be specialized for a specific terrain type. So, say you're playing a robot race and you're specialized to an ice planet, you can come across any other planet, and as long as you've the technology researched, you can then terraform that planet you come across into an ice planet over time to make it more suitable for your particular race. And then just to add a little bit to that, your enemies then can still use that same technology on your planet again to flip it to something that you're less comfortable in. So say they could make that a lava planet, you know? It's kind of fun. Yeah, it'll be quite tactical. I like it.
Tell us a little bit about the... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Brenton likes the exploration side, so he'll probably tell us a little bit about that.
I think there hasn't been a good Space 4X game that's really tried planet exploration yet and made a good job of it. Most of them have a very rudimentary planet system, like you've got one colony on your planet and you don't really get to see it, or you've got a small map with squares and you just pick to put certain things in certain squares. I think that's way too limiting, so we actually have a full planet that you can scout with scout ships, and you can search for resources, and then you build cities on the resources.
Oh, that's really interesting.
I like that.
A bit more civilization to it.
Yeah.
I'd like to know a little bit more about the colony blueprint system. To me, somebody that I'm not that great at strategy games, especially when it's micromanagement. So I think this is something that I would be interested in, and I'm sure some of our listeners would. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about and what it is?
Okay, well, in most 4X games you have this problem where once you've got a certain number of colonies, suddenly the amount of time that you have to spend managing them all gets really out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, say you get a new factory building, you've just researched a new factory, you have to go to all of your production colonies and then manually put that down and get that built.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of turns later you might have to do it all over again when you get another building. So one of the possible solutions to that is to have a build queue that you can save and then load into other planets. But that kind of advanced build queue system doesn't offer enough. Well, first of all, no one's done it yet, and second, it doesn't offer enough real customization. So what we've done is with our blueprint system, you can place buildings in your colonies wherever you want. And you can save the layout of your colony, what buildings are there, what order they're built in. You can add some rules to it, only build up this housing if you have enough population to need it, stuff like that. So you can save all of that into a blueprint, as well as information like how much do you tax your people, how much funding do you spend on different areas of the colony. So when you've designed a really nice working colony, you can save it out. Then when you go to another planet, if you want to colonize another planet with the same type of colony, say it's a production colony or something, you could then pick from your blueprints, set that blueprint up, and it would automatically start building that colony to match your blueprint. And then later, if you want to, say you've got that blueprint on 100 colonies, just go crazy, you've got it on 100 colonies because you've got a massive empire, then you get that building, you just researched a new factory building. So what you do is you just go in and you put it on the blueprint, and all your colonies automatically start putting it up.
That sounds pretty impressive. Sounds like something I would use a lot.
It just streamlines things, really. It's a good
one. Right.
It takes a lot of the micromanagement problem out.
You just copy it from one colony to the next, and it's perfect. That's all you need to do. It just seems like such a simple solution to the problem.
We hope so.
We hope so as well, yeah.
So this sounds really interesting, playing with other people as well, because I can just imagine going in and messing up someone's colony and messing up their planet and trying to terraform. You know, Jack has a nice planet and he's chilling out literally and he's really just enjoying it. And I come in and I make everything volcanic and the eruption and mm-hmm. and just crazy. That just sounds very fun. Is multiplayer a definite thing, a definite feature in the game?
Well, it's definite in that I absolutely have to get multiplayer, and I wouldn't want to make a game without it. But it's not definite for launch, because we'll have to get enough funding to actually develop that. If we don't get enough funding to add the multiplayer stretch goals, we'll be able to release multiplayer as a free update for anyone who's already bought the game.
Okay. I'm glad I asked that.
After launch.
It's currently our $40,000 stretch goal, just to give you a wee bit of perspective on mm-hmm. that.
Okay.
For our $30,000 stretch goal, though, we're putting in Hossie multiplayer and play by email. So there'll be some multiplayer there.
Okay.
On before we get to the, you know, the whole online multiplayer game lobby type thing.
But so still it would be at least asynchronous.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Get the asynchronous.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun too. But if you want real online multiplayer, help them out and support them and get them to that $40,000 stretch goal.
Yes, please.
So right now there's 511 backers, a little over $21,500, and there's still 23 days to go. So
yes.
It looks like you're probably going to hit that $25,000 goal at a minimum.
Yeah.
And it would be awesome if you got above that. But I'm not sure if I saw it in the video or if it was something I read, and it kind of caught my attention. You're kind of advertising yourselves as Northern Ireland's, you know, answer or the first real gaming studio. And
I'll be honest, we are kind of.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a lot of little indie startups and things here, but most of them just make phone games, and none of them have actually, some of them have tried to go to Kickstarter and they haven't succeeded. And really got much backing because they're not trying to make, I think, proper PC games. There's a lot of support just for PC, for good PC gaming right now.
Yeah.
But if you guys get a good solid backing on Kickstarter, it kind of looked like there's a chance that you may be able to get some funding or some grants or something, some help from the Northern Ireland government as well. Is that, did I see
Absolutely.
That right?
Yeah, you did. What will happen there is, there are certain government schemes that we have running now to support upstart businesses, but a lot of them are locked in terms that you need to secure your own private funding first, just to ensure that there's enough backing for your future business and, you know, that there's actually money out there to keep your business sustainable after they give you the amount. So we can then apply to multiply our money that we make on Kickstarter. Now, if we're successful with that, we could double what we end up with on Kickstarter, which is why we could go on to Kickstarter with such a low, you know, kind of threshold.
Okay.
Because 25,000, you know, it sounds like a lot to one person, but it's actually not that much to make a full-scale, you know, sort of PC game on,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's why we can keep that sort of competitive.
Even with our engine already done and everything, and all the work that we've already done on it, 25,000 is not a lot to make a game on.
We
deliberately stripped back features to make, like multiplayer and stuff, to make the minimum budget we could to actually make the game, and then end up 25,000.
I think it's great. I think it's great that that the government's, you know, willing to help out as well, especially those who get their own solid foundation. So that they know that the money's most likely going to go to what it's supposed to.
Absolutely. It is quite hard to access the money in that way, but, you know, that's kind of a good thing because it stops it going to waste at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So, Jack, our strategy man, what what do you want to know about the game? That this is your chance to shine.
Well, I was kind of wondering about how does spying work in...
This is one for me, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. most 4S games have some kind of spying system. Master Run 2 had a very simple one. You just built spies and then you put them into enemy empires and said, you know, either they steal technology or they just sabotage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
None of them have really done what I consider a kind of proper in-depth spy system where you manually, you know, you get to have complete control over it. You manually pick what your spies do. So for our system, you'll have to have, you'll have to build some kind of stealth ship, and you'll have to manually send your spy to an enemy colony and insert him into the colony without being noticed. You pick from orbit, you pick which colony you want him to infiltrate, and then he, like, infiltrate that colony. You pick which building you want to give him a job in. So you say you could give him a mission to go into a research lab, and then he would steal research, or you could give him a mission to go into a factory, and he would steal, like, plans for something they're working on, or he would steal resources for you.
So it's a lot more, like, it's a lot more hands-on than traditional,
very much
hands-on to spying. I like that. Mm-hmm. And so at what point did you decide to make it, because, sorry, I need to back up. The combat is based on, like, a hexagonal grid, right?
Yes, it is. That was so funny how that actually came about. it came the time to planning our combat system. And Stephen, the art director, and Brendan decided that they were going to have a game of the planned combat system on my Dungeons & Dragons battle mat.
Very early prototype.
Yes, it was very early, very early. Now, I already had a game running in Dungeons & Dragons and had my map drawn out on the square side, and I wouldn't let them rub it out. So I left them with the map anyway, and they flipped it over, saw the hexes, and realized that it had so much more potential for the combat system in terms of giving a sort of 3D feel on a 2D grid. So the hexes just kind of stuck, and now we're hex mad.
The strategy of it just works. See, we actually planned out the whole, how the system would work with squares, because I wanted it to be kind of like a very tactical game, like chess with spaceships. Whenever we came to do it, it turned out to be very complicated. Trying to work out the move rules for the different shifts was very, just, it didn't feel right, very rigid. But as soon as we flipped that over to the hexagon side and started trying things, we're like, this actually works so simply. There's such simple little rules that you have, like, you know, ships have a certain number of moves, and a move is move forward into one of the three squares in front of you, or to turn by one square, like turned by one-sixth of a rotation. And just combining those two rules made the entire movement system work. It all just sort of clicked.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a really awesome story. I like that. And you can also build the ships that you, like, you can customize them and make them kind of your own.
The default system that we're going to have in the game at launch, definitely, this is guaranteed, is you'll be able to design your ships by picking, like, a base hull, and each hull has a certain amount of power output. Then you'd add modules to it, like you'd add your engines, shields, armor, weapons, any special modules that give you special abilities that you can activate during the combat. And each one of those would draw a certain amount of power. So it's kind of like that's your limiting factor. You have to design a ship within a certain power constraint.
Yeah.
Okay. And I assume you get these different things by researching new technology and stuff like that. Okay. Cool.
All right. So speaking of researching and stuff, how much of the story is there set up? I mean, this isn't like, you know, obviously you've made up kind of a story for this and this whole universe and stuff. So people are going to be reading about it all, and how much of that is done, and what's it all about?
Well, what I can tell you so far, without giving too much away, is that the game is first of all set in the year 2350. And what happens then is that there's a big bad guy happens to be uncloaked as human races start to explore space. And that big bad guy isn't very nice. And he decides Exactly, I know. How could he? But he decides that it's a really great idea to go and destroy every planet with life on it. So all the races get together and decide that they need to make one final stand. And when that happens, something goes horribly wrong, as you'll hear in the video. And what happens is everyone ends up being pitched back into time. And when that happens, they lose a lot of their technology and things, as, you know, their homeworlds have been destroyed. They only have pretty much what's on their ships, and they're all, you know, scattered throughout the galaxy, so they're not in contact with each other. So the game starts off with having to redevelop things that, you know, you would have once known, and having to get yourself back out there into space and find out what's happened to all your, you know, friends and foes.
It's going to be like December 21st.
Pretty much.
Nice. Very cool.
And then, of course, every race will have their own, you know, lore and backstory and reason for, you know, existing, pretty much. The one that we have closest to completion would be our robot race. And
I love the robot race.
Me too. Beep, 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 beep. I love them.
Did you do the voice acting for the robots, Tina?
I wonder. I'll definitely be doing some more voice acting. Everyone seems to, I don't know, love the Belfast accent. I have no idea why.
That's true.
But, yeah.
You'll probably do, like, the tutorial voice and stuff as well.
Narration for, like, new technologies, something like that. I don't know. I'll do something. Even though I hate my voice recorded, but that's another story.
Well, if you guys have any voice talent, I know somebody that might be willing to help you out.
Oh, yay! The more voice talent, the better.
I'm not sure who it is, but I'm sure I can find somebody.
By the way, I was just kind of curious, how big is your team working on this game?
There are 8 of us now. We only just acquired a new 3D modeler, which is really, really exciting. He's going to be doing a lot of the textures for our existing 3D models. But basically, the team comprises of me and Brendan, with Brendan being the lead developer and the founder of the company, and then there's me, I'm the project manager and co-owner of the company. And then you would have Stephen is the art director, so he's in charge of all the, you know, artistic teams so far. And under him would be Connor, our very talented character artist. You would have Craig, and Craig is our first 3D modeler. And then you would have Marcus, he's our new 3D modeler / texturer. And then, apart from them, you would have my brother Eric, who is one of our voice actors. We have a trailer to be released soon, and he has done all the voice acting for that, so that's really cool. And we also have a really cool composer called Dan, and he is actually from Hawaii. He's our US member of the team.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, Brendan and Tina, I've been looking at some of these the things you can get for backing, you know, the pledge goals, the pledge rewards. And I think some of them are pretty cool, but the one that has my attention at the moment is the $50 or more one.
Like hotcakes.
Selling out.
We can name a star.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So if we bought a $50, if we pledged $50, you guys would name a star after the Jacked Up Indian Mojo show somehow?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can do something like that. That one's actually selling out really quickly. So if anyone wants to get one, they'll be running out very, very soon. Yeah. There's most of them are already gone.
Yeah, it says
currently says 32 left.
Yeah, so we'll try to get one as soon as we can.
Yay!
It was 39 or 38 this morning, so they're disappearing.
And we've also put in a system today that if you get that star pack, you can actually gift it to someone for the holidays, say for Christmas or whatever. what you do there is you just give a slight extra donation and we'll send an e-card to your person who's the giftee, and that'll explain what exactly the present is, and we'll allow them to get in contact with us to name their new star.
That's very cool. I think that's an awesome incentive. That's the word I've been looking for, incentive.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't come that easy. We're definitely going to try to get one of those last 32, but we'll come up with a cool star name so you don't have to name it something dorky like Jacked Up Indian Mojo.
Nothing wrong with that.
So do you have any dates in mind for the beta?
Ooh, well, that's a tough one.
Our goal we're aiming for is beta by August 2013. Mm-hmm. Obviously, plans may change as we develop. We could develop quicker and start releasing stuff a lot earlier. We could start releasing stuff in batches, say if we release the combat system for testing first or the exploration system for a bit of feedback. Or it could take longer. It all completely depends on what happens during development.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll probably go that modular route before August. So that, you know, you will get to try out, say, making a ship or having a go at combat or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So now you guys have 23 days left to go in your Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. You have 511 backers already.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do that? go into a little bit. I mean, Tina, and I know this is something you'll be able to talk about, but like,
absolutely,
talk about promoting this game. You guys kind of came out of nowhere. I knew you because I knew you. But I've seen you on Rock Paper Shotgun. You've been on some big sites and you've been covered by a lot of people. Talk about that.
Okay. Well, we're actually hoping for more media coverage than what we actually got, but we're happy with what we have to say.
Well, you're on the largest, you're on the largest, most popular podcast in Indian Mojo history, so.
That's it. Can't get better than that, let's be fair. Well, our social media's kind of stuff definitely helped. Before we even decided to launch the Kickstarter, I was already working on our social media growth and things like that. We also attended local events here in Northern Ireland. We demoed a trailer of the game at QCon, which is Ireland's largest gaming convention, and that gave us a nice newsletter sign-up list. It's definitely best when you're launching something that's a total upstart like this, to get local support behind you.
Definitely.
It definitely helped us out quite a lot. Apart from that, I would say targeting your audience nicely and being sure that you take the plunge and write to these people who could potentially be interested in your product is the best thing to do. A lot of people would shy away from the larger sites just because, I don't know, they're scared they won't get covered. And, you know, there's a lot of foundation in that these days because I don't know what is up with the media right now. Haven't worked in it before. I just can't fathom how many people are irritated by Kickstarters, but that's a whole new story.
Interesting, though, is that people who are backing Kickstarters are not annoyed by them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interest in Kickstarters actually gone up. I think it was the Gamma Sutra did a survey on people to see how interested they were in Kickstarters, and most people had actually become more interested during this year. Some people had, and then most people were just as interested as they were earlier in the year. Very few people had lost interest or and started suffering this Kickstarter fatigue that everyone's been predicting. It just
absolutely
never materialized, but the media seems to be acting like it has.
Yeah, that's right.
They're probably
totally
getting
fair.
A lot of requests to cover the games and, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I think it's a responsible thing to do to actually look at the games and look at what backing they've got so far and say, you know, is this a decent story to cover? So far we've had, I think, other than major sites, we've just had Rock, Paper, Shotgun covering us. There was one amazing site that covered us straight away, which I want to give a big shout out to, is Space Sector. Space Sector was a huge boost for us because they, first of all, they approached us back in early this year whenever I just started developing the game and I just put up a blog on it. And he did something called was it Stellar Indie something or other? He did a feature on this new indie game that we were making and all the details that we'd released up till then. And then, so as soon as we were up on Kickstarter, he did a big post about it, and we've got quite a lot of backing off that.
Yeah.
That's great.
The main thing I could say is to be sure that you have something more interesting to say than we have a Kickstarter.
If that's the most interesting thing to say, then
don't make
your
project.
Nothing interesting to say, yeah.
Yeah, just don't go there.
Well, you guys have a bit of a leg up, Tina, you know, because it's kind of your thing to market games and in the media and social media, where I think maybe some of those other places just put it on there and expected it all to happen by itself. And you guys have put a lot of work and effort, obviously, into your Kickstarter page to begin with and the entire project. So I think that makes a big difference.
Something that I did notice that if you can get a good big media push and with your own local support and everything right from the start, you tend to be able to springboard off that. So we got a lot of our own backing from all of our local people, the people from QCon and from Space Sector and all the small media that we targeted. And then off the back of that, a lot of people came in from Kickstarter, so we ended up in the most popular list for a while.
That Kickstarter themselves have brought in 50% of our backing, and that is simply because we got our own backing so quickly. If you do a lot of work yourself, and Kickstarter really do help to springboard your project all the more, because they have things like staff picks, their newsletter, and their most popular section.
Yeah, I was really surprised by how much Kickstarter actually helped. I was expecting we would just use it as a platform to take in places from, you know, from media coverage and external places, but Kickstarter itself has provided quite a lot of backing.
Yeah.
So I'm proud to announce that we have officially bought our star, so nobody.
Yay! Thanks very much for backing.
Thank you all.
You're welcome. I think that it's a very exciting looking game.
So I know you guys are very focused right now on Predestination and all that, but I was just kind of wondering, do you guys have any projects in the future that you'd like to work on that you kind of have on the back burner?
I've kind of always wanted to do an EVE Online type sandbox, like I was saying before. I would love to do it right, though. So we'd need to have our first game out and have some of our own funding to put into it so we could actually hire a few more people and do a good job of it.
Yeah.
Well, if Predestination really takes off, then hopefully that'll be the next step.
Fingers crossed for us.
So, are you guys open to signing with the publisher if that offer came up?
We'd actually rather not do that. The thing with publishers is we don't want to be the kind of studio that's kind of beholden to any financial backing that someone may have creative control over the game just because they're putting money into it.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal is to grow the business organically. It may take a while, but I think actually CCP is the perfect model for this. They started very small with EVE Online. Actually, they made a board game before EVE Online just to try and get some money.
Really?
A board game called, I think it translates to Danger Game. They released that in Iceland. They've just grown organically since then, and now they're a worldwide company with 3 games in development.
Yeah.
So they took a while to get there, but that's the model. You want to not owe anything to anyone.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We want to keep our autonomy. We've worked really, really hard, and we don't want anyone to really take that away at this point.
Especially for, like, it helps when you've got people like we've got our artists and our composer and everyone on board, that no one else has a say, that we can give them their autonomy. We can say to our character artist, go nuts. Make a steampunk robot race, and this is what he came back to us with, and it's amazing work. If we had to get someone who's exercising some kind of creative control over that, it may not have turned out as well.
Right, yeah, definitely. I think that if you can do it on your own, more power to you.
Yeah.
Now, I don't really know how this works, but how are you planning on distributing it? You meet your goal.
Sure. We are quite committed to being DRM-free. As long-time PC gamers, we know how much of a bummer it is to have to be, you know, jumping through hoops just to play the game that you've already paid for. So what we're going to do is we're going to have digital distribution as our primary source distribution on Steam. The way we're going to use Steam is that you don't need to be online or anything like that to access your game, and you can just access it like straight from the directory, so that, you know, you have no issues on that front. I know a lot of people are it should work, fingers crossed. But we know a lot of people are anti-Steam as well, so we're going to have some other way to distribute it, you know, on our own site as well, just for people who say no to Steam for, you know, their part in DRM as well. So, yeah, we have a couple of options.
You kind of have a unique way of, or maybe not unique, but a aggressive way of combating piracy, basically by making it easier to buy the game and a better deal to buy the game than it would be to steal the game. That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things we're doing is like DLC and expansions after launch and everything. And if all of our community features and stuff that are available to people who have bought the game, if we can do a good job of those, then people will be more likely to want to buy the game than pirate it. And I think the number one thing you can do, I think, to beat piracy is literally just make a game good enough that people will want to buy it.
Right. That seems like it's just common sense, but...
Yeah, it does, but... Not every game is good enough that someone would go, yeah, I'd pay for that. It's got to the point now where some people are saying, well, I wouldn't pay for it, but I'll go download it.
Yeah, I wish luck on that. I think you have a little more faith in humanity than I might, but I think it's a good plan. I mean, I do. I think that it's the best way to go about it, honestly. There's always going to be people that are going to take things. There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, we can't stop that. And, like, we've seen the success of things like GOG.com and, you know, sites like that. So we'll have a good, you know, sort of support system there to help us out in the right way to go about, you know, making the game DRM-free. So that's pretty good.
There's a lot of games that have come out DRM-free that there's enough there that we can look on and say, you know, that's the way to go.
Have you determined a price point yet?
Sort of. We're thinking that the game will retail around the, you know, $20-$25 mark.
Okay. We're not going to hold you to that if you change your mind.
Well, that's the game right now, and then obviously there'll probably end up being sales and stuff later. It depends entirely on if we can get on the scene.
Sure.
Basically.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's a lot of content for $25.
We hope so.
Yeah. That is the goal, isn't it, with 4X games? They're like so much replayability that it's practically infinite content you could keep playing forever. I mean, we're also having things like people will be able to design their own races and stuff and upload them on a website. You can download them in your game. And if we get enough funding, or if we have to leave this to an expansion, we want to make player-made maps. So players could design their own single-player maps, and you could go and look at a list of the most popular single-player maps and go, I'll try this one, right? Or that challenge map or something, and go, I bet you I can beat his high score.
Cool.
That sounds good, yeah.
I was kind of wondering, is it difficult working with places like Steam and good old games to get distribution through them? Like, is that difficult?
Well,
we haven't approached them yet, but Steam has
green light.
The green light, which basically is you just put up a page all about your game and get people to vote for it. If it gets enough votes, Valve will take notice pretty much, and then they'll go, yeah, we'll have that on Steam, or no, we're not really interested.
So you guys can still. So you guys are still thinking of doing green light, like would that be the next step after you're done with the Kickstarter? Is go to green light and try to get it up on Steam?
We'll probably put up the green light page during the Kickstarter campaign. I think once we've got a few more backers and we've actually hit 100%, we don't want to really put up a page until we're sure we can make the game.
Yeah.
Sure. Right.
So on your page, you say that the system specs are going to be fairly low, you know, so that most people can play it. Are you also going to have options for those of us that spent way too much money on our PCs so that we can jack it up as high as possible and look at it with glossy eyes?
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know if you've seen, but our planets are really, really pretty. Brendan's done a great job on those. Yeah. He actually, like, on his trips to Iceland and across Ireland, he's been taking photos of whatever terrain he finds and using those in the game, so it looks pretty authentic and it's quite vivid. So, yeah, it's definitely something that we will want to show off for people who do have powerful machines, but at the same time we don't want to exclude anybody. So, you know, it runs on pretty low requirements, which is nice. What do you think there, Brenton? You're the techie.
You know, how old is my PC?
It's falling apart. It's like, I don't know, 6 now?
5 or 6 years old. My PC is not the PC I developed the game on, and it runs solid FPS on that, so like a solid 60 plus. So that's the goal anyway, to keep it running on my crap PC, because it's now below average on the Steam hardware profile.
Okay.
So most people should be able to run it.
It'll be accessible for everybody, but if you have the updated, you know, if you have the technology, you'll be able to run it at higher settings.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I'd love to add extra, like, flashy stuff, like, you know, add some extra bloom or extra gas or nebulas in combat and all that stuff. Because we're going to have those features, but you can make them look a lot better if someone has a really beefy graphics card.
Absolutely.
So now you guys have $50,000 to $80,000 stretch goals listed on your Kickstarter, but it says level locked. What are those?
It's a secret, Daniel. That's what locked means.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was full of fun. We can kind of hint at it, Brendan. We could. We don't need to be mean. We can hint at maybe the top one. What do you think?
Well, alright. I think the top one will probably be single player levels. We haven't quite decided yet. Is the thing. But I think an entire story campaign for the game at launch would be an amazing thing to have.
That would be awesome.
Right now, we're basically only going to have like tutorial levels and all the levels people design as part of their backer rewards if they choose the $500 or $1,000 ones, which few people have.
Yes, we love those people.
Oh, God, yes, we love those people.
Well, if you pledge $1,000, you can design your own race. If I had $1,000, I'd totally do it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun to work with those people on those races, let me tell you.
Definitely. Our character artist is already beaming. He's so looking forward to seeing the ideas that people come up with.
More robots. Another robot race.
Yeah.
I think we need more robots.
Always more robots. We love them. Did you see that we have a robot race naming competition running?
I know. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's in one of our updates. You should definitely check it out because that robot race needs a name, and I'm sure you guys could come up with some awesome names.
Come up with some suggestions at the very least.
Yeah.
we're closing that one on at midnight tonight.
Oh no.
That's our time, so I don't know what time that would be for you guys.
I don't know what time that is.
So that would be like 5 o'clock. No.
In about 9 hours.
Be about 4 o'clock time. Well, my time, sorry.
It'd be in the middle, it'd be early in the morning for us, so we'd have to come up with something before we go to bed.
Yeah.
So it looks like you have a tentative goal of having this game released in about a year.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So pretty confident that you'll be able to do that if things keep going the way they are?
Sorry, I will keep these boys in a tight ship, let me tell you.
That's the thing. We've been working in spare time so far, very little spare time. And someone's phone's going.
Sorry.
He's very popular.
Yep.
Nobody ever calls me. Jeez.
Kidding me? You get calls all the time.
Not after the election. Not after people are trying to get me to vote for somebody. Those calls always end after election times. All right. I'm sorry. I got everybody off track.
Normal.
Yes. We're aiming for obviously for 1 year of development, but. I'm pretty confident that we can get that because, I mean, we've been working in our spare time. Pretty much everything I've developed pretty much everything on the game since that you see in those videos since January. And that's been in spare time. Most, and a lot of that time has been taken up by things like, you know, putting together business plans and trying to get funding here before we went to Kickstarter, before we finally just took the plunge. But, so, I mean, really, that's just a couple of months of development spread across the year.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire, if we have the whole of next year to work on it, and I have Tina whipping me,
yeah.
I think we can get this done. And we have a lot more people on the team now as well, is the thing.
Yeah,
I can just focus on programming the gameplay, and we've got people for everything else.
Well, that's a wonderful... luxury to have if you can focus, you know, on your one part. I think that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, Northern Ireland, we're in a very, very lucky position because Northern Ireland has very low living costs, and with it being still part of the UK, you have, like, quite a lot of help, you know, government-wise as well, for new businesses and things like that. So, you know, we can sort of have that luxury of taking our time to sort of, you know, put into the development and everything that we need to do. Whereas, you know, other people might not have all that time because, you know, they have financial constraints that they need to meet, you know, bills to pay and all that.
Yeah. So, Speaking of time, do you guys have any other hobbies or things that you enjoy besides making video games?
Playing video games.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's in your... What are you firing up and playing these days when you have a few minutes?
Ooh, Guild Wars 2.
Guild Wars 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big MMO person, really. That's what I like to play. And, of course, Civilization. And also The Sims. I'm a big Sims addict.
Nice.
Are you excited for the new SimCity?
Yes, very. I can't wait to actually get to play and see what I think. Although I haven't really liked, you know, the direction, just on a side note, that The Sims have been taken recently with, like, Sims Social and things like that. I mean, I don't even know what that's all about, but that is not marketed at me, one of their big geeky players, you know. I was rather upset about that. Really? When I saw these girls, like, oh my god, we can, like, chat to this guy online, and isn't that so hot? You know, that, oh my god, it cracked me up.
What about you, Brendan? What are you playing?
I know, I don't like to chat to guys online either. I'll be honest, most of the time I'm playing EVE Online or I'm breaking out Master of Rand 2 again. I just can't turn myself away from it still, after all these years.
Well, that's what makes a great game a great game.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, that's the goal. What else? Guild Wars 2, I've played a bit of.
Diablo.
Diablo 3, yeah, I've played the...
Great game.
Yeah. most of the rest of my time I probably spend writing about games as well, though. As I do the weekly EVE Evolve column at Massively. And I've written some features for them, so I've written some like Diablo guides and EVE guides and stuff.
Oh, that's great. What about us gents? Have we been playing anything? Jack, Jeremy, you guys been?
I played some Diablo 3, believe it or not. I know I've been kind of not playing games lately, but I did manage to play that for a few hours, and I was going to play Guild Wars 2, but it was such a huge update that by the time I got done, I was sleeping. But other than that, no.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, I played a little bit of Guild Wars 2. And I believe it or not, Jeremy, I finally made some more headway in Valkyria Chronicles that you lent me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I got stuck for a while. I got really frustrated because it takes forever to do anything in that game. And if you fail a mission, you lose 2 hours of your life.
Try not to fail.
And,
solid advice.
Well, sometimes I just can't help myself. And
The Walking Dead.
Yeah, and The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So, Valkyrie Chronicles and crying myself to sleep.
We'll talk more about The Walking Dead next week as long as Jeremy gets on the ball and actually plays it.
I'll play it. God, you think I don't even like games anymore.
You'd think. You would think. I cried. I cried playing The Walking Dead. It was very emotional. I couldn't believe that Clementine would just turn around and murder everybody in the party.
Yeah, who would
at the start of the game. Like, she just turned around and shot everyone. It was incredible.
Jeez.
Talk about your loss of innocence.
Never should have taught her how to use a gun, I guess. Now I don't even have to play, Daniel. Thanks. Now I'm good. You just saved me, like, 8 hours. I'll
no
get
problem.
Leave me alone. I promise.
Well, you guys have all been playing, like, hardcore games, and I've been... Well, it's kind of hardcore, but it's a console game. I've been playing Okami on the PS3.
Oh, that's a great game!
The game is gorgeous in HD.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. But other than that, that's about it. I'm so excited, though. Sound Shapes has new content coming today. I'm going to play around with that, build some more levels.
That's
songs.
Cool.
Yep.
Anybody plan on watching the VGAs? All right.
What?
The Video Game Award Show.
You guys have those in Ireland?
It might not air in Ireland, yeah. Sorry.
It might not.
Northern Ireland. It's a...
Unless it's streamed online, we don't have it.
I think it is streamed online, but it's not really worth watching.
It's a very American program. The Video Game Awards.
I don't think I've ever...
laugh at it.
I don't think I've ever watched the VGAs.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I don't know why. It's just... I'm not a huge person for award shows. Like, I don't watch the Oscars either, or... That is a thing, right? The Oscars?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's every 4 years, like the Olympics.
No, probably won't be watching those much.
Me neither. I might, but I kind of doubt it.
Well, I mean, if I could anyway. I don't have cable. Anyway.
I'm going to be streamed. I just told you that.
Oh, right. Right. Whatever.
How's the new job going, Daniel?
I don't know. I don't start till Friday.
Oh, well. Yep. Hopefully it goes well.
But
who's got a job on a Friday?
Well, it's a training. They only do trainings on Fridays.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I have been developing, well, myself and mostly Nick have been developing my own website.
That's awesome.
Yeah, with a website?
Called IndieJonesGames.com. And, yeah, it's basically right now it's just, online portfolio, which I already have, but this way it doesn't have the blog spot on it, and we can pretty it up and make it nicer. And I even can put the show on it and have that going. So
that's brave of you.
It's exciting.
Yep, very cool. So it's like an actual website. It's not just like a WordPress site or a blog spot or anything like that.
Nope, it's an actual URL, domain. And Nick is slaving away at it. I don't think he actually works, because pretty much all day he just texts me about the website, and he's supposed to be at work, but I think he's just doing the website.
Well, as long as he's getting paid and not getting in trouble, who cares?
Yep. I don't
care. Sure, he does work.
Some
people have the type of jobs where their job is to make sure other people do work, and that job can get boring, so you got to do something.
That's my job.
So that's probably what Nick does. He's probably doing his job, but it's not like constant busy work. So he keeps himself occupied.
Right.
By helping you. So you should be grateful.
Actually, I'm very grateful.
I know you are.
Erk.
I know, right? Jack, did you send in your thing to Official Xbox Magazine? How's that going?
I sent that away a while ago. And I haven't gotten any new leads for a writing thing yet, but still sending out emails, so hopefully.
I saw on Twitter that you're writing a new book.
Oh, yeah.
What's that all?
I've been working on that for a while, though.
Oh. Okay. You don't want to.
So
you awkward. Don't tell me about it?
Oh, well, what do you want to know about it? I'm awful at talking about myself.
Yeah. Is it a book about what's it about?
It's about, have you ever seen The Princess Bride?
Yeah.
I'm taking inspiration from the Princess Bride, so I want to make it a light fantasy adventure that isn't, you know, dark or takes itself too seriously. And it's basically a frame narrative of this old guy in a bar telling a story. And it's about this magical land called In Between. That's basically a dream world.
Hmm.
And about a street rat who sees this girl and assumes that she's a princess, but she's actually an assassin.
Ooh.
And there's a king that plunged his kingdom into poverty because he's looking for the secret to eternal life.
Oh.
And
Mad King Ares, come again.
Like there's a there's a talking bear that fights.
Yes.
Yay!
I'm gonna read this book.
Maybe. Yeah, this sounds good.
Where did I sign up?
And you know, magic and flame tongue salamander dragons. It's gonna be fun. And I'm not super far along with the actual writing of it, but I have the story pretty much all planned out and except for a few kinks that I'm still working out, and otherwise I'm probably about maybe 50 pages in.
Oh, well, you got lots of room to go.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be great, though. You guys are both excellent writers. I'm the talentless one around here.
Not at all.
Oh, I'd say so.
You're the talker.
Yeah, well, somebody has to, right? So, I saw that Mike Epps has also now retired from Epic Game Studios.
Mike Capps.
Capps, whatever.
Yeah, that kind of stinks.
Well, there's like everybody's leaving Epic. Do you think that something major is happening, or is it just they're all wanting to move on for no real reason? You're the investigative journalist here, Daniel. I want to know what you think.
I don't know. There's got to be something going on over there. They wouldn't all leave at the same time for no reason. I don't know. There's got to be something. But I don't know what. I haven't looked into it. So
that's very insightful. Thank you.
Thanks.
I was kind of wondering what you guys thought about the whole Free Radical Star Wars Battlefront 3 news that's been coming out recently about how the game was 99% done. Then somebody else, anonymous source who worked at the company, said, no, it was a mediocre game that was only 75% done. And then the comeback that was like, no, it was maybe 97% done.
Well, here, that last few, percent takes all the time.
That's quite possible. You know, that game's been embroiled in controversy for years, and it's probably really hard to say what the real truth is at this point. Maybe it'll be like Duke Nukem Forever, and it'll release 7-8 years from now and just be crappy.
Yeah.
Let's hope not.
Right next to Final Fantasy Versus 13 and some other game that I was thinking of earlier that was supposed to release a long time ago.
Maybe it'll be like... Go ahead.
So I wonder how many people lost bets on Duke Nukem Forever.
One would be too many. That poor game. Oh, well. Can't win them all, right? So what's right. What's the weather like in Northern Ireland besides not sunny right now? Is it like your winter time, springtime?
Winter and cold. We should have got snow today, but it didn't snow. So I was really disappointed because I love snow, especially when I can sit indoors.
I've always wanted to go to that area, and now that you said the cost of living is low, I might just have to sell the kid and move over.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, that could be awesome.
It's a lovely part of the world we live in, a really, really beautiful, really beautiful piece of rock.
I really say, when I think of Ireland, I think of like these lush green rolling hills with these old awesome castles and...
Yep.
Yeah, we've got that, yeah.
All true. Yep, it's all there. All there. It's a beautiful
really?
place.
We don't have castles in the States, and it makes us sad.
I know. I'm going to be getting married soon. I got engaged this year, and I'm getting married in a castle. Thanks. I'm getting married in a castle. Won't that be fun?
That'll be awesome.
That'll be awesome.
Congratulations.
How many times can say that?
I know.
But aren't well, royal blood. Well, maybe you are royal blood. I don't know. But how many people, how many more folks can say that?
Most people here, I think.
There's a castle in Connecticut that was built by an actor, and it was made into his house. Yeah, and people get married there. So
white kind of castle doesn't count.
Yeah,
they got married in a fake castle.
See, our castles were actually besieged and stuff, so that makes them real castles.
They're like blood stains on the wall.
Yeah, I don't think anyone ever besieged the castle at Disney World in Florida.
Not a real castle, then. Sorry.
It doesn't work. If there hasn't been a head on the spike in 100 years, then it doesn't
exactly.
Good stuff. All right, fellas. All right. Well, any other pressing issues you want to talk about gaming-related, or should we move on to our shout-outs?
I think we should move on to our shout-outs.
Jack?
Yeah, we can move on to our shout-outs. I guess the only other thing I had to mention was that I beat Ico. Beat like the last 5 minutes left of Ico that I had.
You should play.
Oh, nice.
And it wasn't as sad as everyone said it was going to be.
That's because you played The Walking Dead and nothing will ever be sad to you again. It's possible.
Yeah, I suppose. Alright.
So guys, let's do it. For our Indian Mojo Show community shout outs. All right. So, Daniel, I think it's your turn to go first this week.
Oh, good. All right. Sorry, I'm just eating something.
That's great.
I don't even know what it is, really. What is it?
It's my spice.
Goma. It's Dolma?
Dolma. D-O-L-M-A.
D-O-L-M-A. It is, like, stuff wrapped in a little leaf.
So let me get this right. Your roommate not only builds your website for you, he comes home and hand feeds you while you're doing. You got a maid, man.
Yeah. I do. Okay. He's got the Wikipedia page up for Dolmas. So Dolma, D-O-L-M-A. All right. I can't read and talk at the same time, Nick. All right. So anyway, my shout out for this week is The Art of the Game, Asking the Right Questions by David Chandler. He writes for AwesomeOutOf10.com, and he reposts what he writes to Game Informer, which is very, very helpful because I never visit Awesome Out of 10. But he's a great writer, and what he wrote about games being art and the whole discussion, it was more less about are video games art and more just are we even asking the right questions when we consider games to be art. So it's pretty interesting. Go check that out.
All right. Jack, what's caught your eye this week?
Shut Up and Take Your Medicine, Why Reboots Are Better Than Unnecessary Sequels.
Whoa, that's
by, I'm probably butchering this, Von Finel.
Oh, okay.
I think it's part one of a 31 blog. So basically he talks about how sometimes rebooting a series can be better than just creating crappy sequels that serve no purpose. Even though lately reboot has kind of gotten a bad rap for things like Chris the new movie Red Dawn or the new Spider-Man, Bomberman Act Zero. Do you guys remember that game?
No.
Bomberman.
They tried to make an edgy reboot of Bomberman. Didn't really
an edgy reboot?
Edgy, yeah. Bomberman, love it.
It's for Xbox 360 and it's awful.
Did he swear and like was it like Conquer but Rayman? Conquer for Bad Friday?
No, they like completely redesigned Bomberman to be like Sam Fisher looking in a metal suit.
Wow.
Yeah,
I meant Mega Man, not Rayman. Sorry.
We knew what you meant.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's just really bizarre and strange. Look up like the videos on YouTube. Anyway.
Maybe.
Alright.
Anyway, it was a really interesting blog and people should check it out.
And that was Von Findel, is that what you said?
Von Finel.
I know, yeah. I've read a couple of his blogs, I think, in the past. I'm trying to think of his avatar, which sticks in my mind, but I'm kind of losing it.
It's like a flaming skull.
Oh, it's not the same person I'm thinking of. Or it's possibly changed.
I don't know.
Bye! Shout out goes to X-X, Mantis X. Why do people put X's in their usernames? Mantis. And the blog is Why You Should Care About Humble Bundle. Obviously, the Humble Indie Bundle is all about charity. This one is the THQ one specifically that he's referring to, I believe. And obviously, he talks about the reason we should care is because the amount of money that goes to charity. And it's just a great deal to begin with. And we're all about charity here on the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show. We always love it, so we want to recognize anytime anybody does something to help promote a good cause. And this is certain. All the Humble bundles are great deals and good causes. And this one is no different. So that's my shout-out.
Hazoo!
Fantastic. So I suppose we should let our guests just kind of Sell us on the game one more time before we close out. And just
leave on a note of excitement for predestination?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks very much for anyone who's already supported us, because it's just amazing, and it makes us squeak and dance around our house like imbeciles. So
thank
it's
you.
Really good. Thanks so much. Second of all, be sure to check out the Kickstarter page, because there really is a wealth of information there that, I don't know, if you get a kick out of games at all, you might like even to know just from a process, you know, standpoint. You'll kind of get a kick out of that. Be sure to check out our blog. There's the race competition running for another few hours, and that's just predestinationgame.com. And also be sure to follow us on Facebook.
And on Twitter?
Yeah, and on Twitter. Just search Predestination or Predestination Game and you'll find us.
Excellent. Yeah, it's a very well designed Kickstarter page. Maybe designed isn't the right word, but it's got a lot of information on there. You guys did a great job with it.
Thank you.
And I want to know, so how does this Name the Star thing work? Well, will you guys contact me when you're ready, or do I just, like, send you, like, all kinds of information?
Kickstarter has tools for that, so whenever it's over, whenever the Kickstarter's finished, we'll, like, send everyone who's bought a star a request, and they'll give us their names. And then we'll go, no, you cannot name a star Uranus, or whatever.
Yes.
Uranus I would do.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, The $50 pledge that we did said it came with a gift copy. Will that be just like a code we can send to anybody we want to, or how does that work?
Yep, you can send that to anyone. And if anyone wants to say give that as a gift to someone for this holiday season, you can add $5 to your pledge and just let us know in a wee message who to send it to, and we'll send them an e-card with details saying, like, someone has bought you a gift copy of Predestination, and it's, you know, due next year.
Very cool. I'm going to make Jack and Daniel fight over it.
That sounds like fun.
It will be.
Jack usually wins those fights, though.
I expect Jack to pledge himself.
Oh, I will.
She again.
There you go. They won't have to fight.
Yeah,
there you go.
If we get enough people from the Game Informer community to pledge $50, will you name like our own little installation? You know, like stars together. You could just name it whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm onto something there.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
So all our listeners, get on that.
Yep.
Let's build up a Game Informer online solar system.
Yes.
Do it.
Awesome.
So yeah, spaceships in space. Space game.
Well, thank you so much for coming on at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, whatever it is over there.
Thanks
for having us.
Thanks so much for having us, honestly.
Oh, it was our pleasure. We had a great time.
And so did we. Thank you so much. It's been great chatting to you guys.
You too. Thanks a lot. All right. So that was episode 54 of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show with special guests Brendan and Tina from... Why did I just blank on the name?
Brain and Nerd.
Thanks. Brain and Nerd. Thank you. Wow.
Failure.
Big time fail. All right.
Yeah, but you can edit it.
Thank you to Jeremy, and thank you to Jack for coming on the show and being handsome as ever.
Oh.
I meant Jeremy, sorry.
Oh. I take back everything I said about you.
Oh, all right.
That's...
All right, I'm Indy Jones. You stay classy, Game Informer.
Thank you for stopping by.
I love Predestination.
Why do you try to cheat and trample people under your feet?
Don't you know it is wrong
to cheat a crying man?
Don't you know it is wrong
to cheat a crying man? Well, you better stop. It is the wrong umbile. If life steals, cheat, and deceit, it's such a small, small game.
Don't you know it is wrong
to cheat a crying man?
Don't you know it is wrong?
Crying man, you better stop. It is the wrong umbrella. Trying man, you better stop. It is the wrong umbrella.